You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. Jeremy, welcome to the AW360 podcast. I'm so pleased to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Lots to talk about, but for starters, you are Chief Revenue Officer at Fandom. Tell us a little bit about Fandom and what you do there.
Absolutely. So Fandom is arguably the world's largest fan platform, really sitting at the intersection of entertainment, gaming, and technology. Every month, we have over 350 million users that come to our platform. And what's amazing is they traverse over 250,000 different fan-powered communities and over 45 million pages of content about every movie, TV show, and video game ever produced in the history of mankind. It's an extraordinary amount of information. And it has a level of depth that you simply can't find anywhere else. So the anecdote I like to say is, you know, if you are a Harry Potter fan, you can come to one of our wikis and you can read about the 3,700 different wizards that have appeared in the Harry Potter movies on more than 3,700 different pages. I think that puts the sheer depth and breadth of what we offer, arguably one of the most important audiences for marketers, which is, you know, Gen Z audience. And we're one of the largest, most scaled platform for that audience.
I was going to actually use my calculator and figure out, just multiply all those numbers together. And then I realized I don't think that my screen is wide enough to show me the number. Tell us a little bit about how the size and scale of Fandom presents not just opportunities, but challenges. I think a little bit of both would be great for context for the listener.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, when you think about it, it's like trillions of data points, right? And look, like in some regards, it could present a problem, but you know, I don't really look at that way because most people come to the platform for a very specific need. They're interested in a show, they're interested in a specific game, and so we actually super serve every fan, but specifically in the way that, you know, interests them and accomplishes what they're looking to achieve. Could be character information, could be better understanding different themes or concepts or, you know, examples of how they could play better in a game, right, from the community. And so what we're able to do is really provide exactly what fans are looking for on their journey. As they sort of really look to enjoy their favorite things in life. I mean, the reality is everybody's a fan of something. You know, if you go to any dinner party that you would go to, any client meeting that you would have, in almost every instance, it's an immediate connection point. Hey, what TV show are you watching right now? What are you streaming, right? What movies are you interested in? What games do you play? And so everyone sort of has a journey with the things that they love. For example, right behind me is Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm a fan, you know, and whether it's understanding more about each of the movies, the ratings, the reviews, new news and information, you know, Fandom's here across our platform to help.
You know, it's funny. I actually ended up on Fandom just last night because of a TV show. I'm watching a show on Netflix, and just I didn't go to Fandom directly. I do often, but for other things. Yeah. But in this case, I Googled
you know, the location of, you know, where a certain show was shot. And I ended up on Fandom, and I was pleasantly surprised that somebody had taken the time to actually map out where all of these locations were shot versus, you know, where they were supposed to take place. When it comes to that, you know, say I'm a Netflix, or, you know, I'm somebody creating content that is, you know, has a fan base, which is most content these days. What is the need for me to have a fan strategy on Fandom, and how do I go about sort of cultivating that and assisting it and helping it along?
Yeah. So you're not alone in your experience with Fandom. Almost everybody you talk to probably has a very similar experience, which is they've wound up on our platform numerous times, but they're going to specific wikis as opposed to, you know, Fandom proper. You know, there's a lot of people obviously that do come to Fandom. We have a lot of repeat, you know, users, but a lot of people are searching for something that is meaningful to them. They wind up on our platform, they learn something that's hugely valuable, and then they move on. So we're sort of like the first stop for a consumer, for a fan in their journey to either continue on with something they love or explore something that they're about to go and enjoy. You know, I think as it relates to what that means for marketers, we have, you know, I mentioned that we reach all these users, you know, millions of people every month, right? And they traverse all these different communities of content. That gives us probably the most complete view on everything that's going on in gaming and entertainment at any one moment in time, right? Like, what are the current interest levels in different, what are the trends, right? What are the different interest levels in action adventure games, RPG games, different types of movies, et cetera. And all this data sort of heavily leans on contextual signals, which obviously is extraordinarily relevant with, you know, the impending, you know, deprecation of cookies and the need for marketers to really focus on either deterministic solutions, contextual solutions, or cohort-based solutions for their marketing strategies going forward. And so for us, what we do is we have all of this rich data on what interests people. And what we do is we have a product called FanDNA Insights. And what FanDNA Insights does is it helps marketers better understand the mind and motivation of consumers tied to their unique passion points. And understanding those interests then allows marketers to more closely align to those passion points to drive valuable outcomes for them. So let me give you like an example, right, to bring this to life.
Sure.
We recently worked with a large beverage company who, you know, had very specific personas that they were looking to connect with. And in this instance, it was a playful mindset. And think about that. You know, every marketer has sort of like, okay, these are the motivations we're trying to focus on. These are the personas we're trying to reach. And in this instance, it was playful mindset. And what we were able to uncover with FanDNA Insights is that Gen Z fandom users were three times more likely to be interested in influencer reactions to videos and two times more likely to be horror fans. That's quite frankly a surprising insight when it comes to how do you connect to a playful mindset. And what we did is we then created a program for this marketer that really aligned to those key themes. And so ultimately that's what we do with our partners is we find insights and then we connect them to really robust, comprehensive active media activation strategies, which would include owning sort of key communities that align to that, using contextual targeting to then find sort of other interest areas of those relevant consumers. And in many instances, it would be producing content, and in some instances, even experiential activations that are all connected to the information that we have based on our view of fan interest.
Wow, that is not at all what I thought you were going to say. The horror film part is very surprising.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I always think of some of these things, like I generally use myself as kind of the, I don't know, sad benchmark of the whole thing. But, you know, I always think, you know, I go in there, I'm a middle-aged guy who really enjoys Call of Duty to this day. And by extension, crime shows, which I'm sure is algorithmically speaking, very basic. But then, you know, hey, I'm interesting. I also like Final Fantasy. So I always think, well, you know, what's it going to do there? But it everything seems to match up very well. You know, when it comes to these data capabilities, and especially as it relates to marketers needing to know more, are there things in the pipeline coming anytime soon that expand on this? I know that, you know, as an industry as a whole, and especially with, you know, actually announcements this week, I think we're still searching for those things that will replace the cookie and all of that. But where does fandom sit just in terms of, you know, innovation in the short term?
Totally. So first and foremost, yeah, you're probably right. Like, no marketer is interested in targeting you. listen, actually, here's a fun fact. So you mentioned that you're a fan of Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I actually was recently looking at this. Doesn't matter why. It wasn't specific to Final Fantasy, but it was just a general view on that category. What we found is that fans of Final Fantasy are more likely to engage with anime and entertainment centered around teamwork, group dynamics, and personal growth. And who would have known, right? So here's what's interesting about that. Okay, so in that instance, we don't know anything about you as a person, but we now have this like view on interest in a way that nobody else has, which is themes. So now if I'm a marketer, I can be like, okay, how do I think about connecting to messaging around teamwork, group dynamics, personal growth? Maybe now I can start thinking about other places I never thought about marketing, because this is where those fans are more likely to be interested in. And so, you know, that's really a lead off into where we're going with our business. And that's around really investing in building out a new and unique data targeting and creative optimization offering that uses the strength of all of these insights on a very granular basis that enables us to create a full comprehensive view for pre-planning sales purposes around like understanding the full dynamic of an interest, and then being able to like click down into subgenres and themes and characters, which really nobody else has the data to support that, given sort of where we sit in the market. And then using AI, we've been able to like structure all of these, 45 million pages and all the content around it, and really get to the heart of what interests fans and what their passion points are, and then work with marketers to like really connect them to those, optimize, create the optimal creative messaging in order to drive more robust outcomes.
That is all very, very cool. Wow. I want to go back a little bit to something you said earlier that I myself am aware of, but I'm not sure how many people actually are. And I think I'm aware of it mostly just because, you know, I work in the industry. I tend to spot these things a little bit more readily than perhaps some people do. But you mentioned a distinction between fandom.com, the website proper, and the individual wikis for mm-hmm. all the millions of those. And what is sort of the editorial mandate of fandom.com? Because one of the things I would love to shower you guys with praise on right out of the gate here is everything that you're putting on that site is not only relevant, it's interesting, it's very high quality in my opinion, mm-hmm. and it's, I think above all, it's very positive, which is mm-hmm. not the type of thing you see, particularly in the realm of gaming, as I'm sure you're aware. You know, gaming sites have a notorious reputation, and very well deserved in my opinion in many cases, of being, you know, highly contentious. A lot of clickbait, things like that. You guys seem to steer clear of that entirely. And I'm very amazed, number one, that you do it so deftly and you do it so well and you do it in such an interesting way. And number two, I'm a little bit curious as to why nobody's noticed this and gone, hey, this is really working well for them, which I assume it is. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we doing it? But is that, I assume that's intentional, but if you could provide some clarity on, you know, how that editorial process sort of works, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, look, our vision beyond all else is to be, you know, the entertainment and gaming fans' first choice for community and experience, right? So we feel as if our job in life is to service fans and their passions and the communities around those experiences, you know, with the best services, with the best content, in order to help them understand, inform, entertain, and just in general celebrate. So I think we always sort of come at this through the lens of, you know, people are coming to us because they love something, right? It's mm-hmm. it's a very positive experience. Like when you're interested in something and you have a passion around that, like it's a happy moment, right? And so that's like just our general philosophy. And so everything sort of stems from that. And so we you know, we have a very active community. I'm actually flying out to Phoenix next week, where we're doing a whole conference with our community leaders who spend hours of their time curating all of these wiki experiences. You know, and then in addition to that, just based on, you know, what we see in the market as, you know, trending and valuable, we also produce a wide variety of content. You know, we recently, over a year ago, acquired great brands like GameSpot and Metacritic. And so we have a phenomenal team that are also producing content sort of around the things that we see mm-hmm. our users love. And so it just all stems from sort of our vision around how we should operate.
And as we close out, I like to make the ones that are sort of pop culture centric podcasts a little bit more personal and a little bit more fun than, you know, because, you know, why not? Yeah. The questions are there, the material's there. So I'm just going to ask you a series of questions. They're at your option, you know, how you want to answer them or if you even want to answer them at all. But not including Indiana Jones, because we know this because of the poster behind you.
Yeah.
What is the wiki that Jeremy most frequents?
I'm an action adventure guy, like through and through. So whether it's obviously Indiana Jones, James Bond, Mission Impossible, like I'm a sucker for that.
Okay, so we are incredibly similar in that regard. Okay.
Yes.
Is there a wiki whose size surprises you? Just the sheer volume of stuff for something that you wouldn't have figured, and I don't want to say warranted such a volume of stuff, but is deeper and more complex than you ever would have imagined.
So I don't want you to take this as like a cop-out answer, but when you have 45 million pages of content, mm-hmm. what you find is there is so much more information about almost every movie, TV show, and video game on the planet that you could ever possibly imagine. So like, there isn't one that stands out to me. I think if I were to pull my team, they'd be like, oh, this one is like crazy. I do think though, you know, we touched a little bit on horror. You'd be surprised at how much interest there is in horror. There are a lot of fans, and like, maybe that was a surprising thing to me. It was just like the sheer interest in the horror category. But there's many examples of this.
Very, very fair answer. Not a cop-out at all. And actually, you know, funny, short, very short story. My daughter was telling me all about the Scream series the other day, which is something, I think I've seen every film in it. I have not really had the curiosity. I don't want to say I'm not a fan, but, you know, it was just not, it was something I watched. It wasn't something that I, you know, my heart and mind just dove, you know, deep into. But yeah, she was telling me all kinds of facts. And, you know, of course, she got them from you guys. Last one. Is there any of these that you see coming or that are very new that, who again, whose, you know, scale early on has surprised you?
Oh, man. These are tough questions. So they're database. Look, there are several launches, many of which I'm actually under NDA on right now, which is sort of a fun thing for me personally, that I get to sort of know what's going on before anybody else that I'm like looking forward to. So there's a few really big films coming out in the fall that I think you're going to see a ton of fan interest in. And then there's a bunch of games that, again, if I could tell you about them, I would, whether it's over the summer or even into, you know, we have visibility well into 2025. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. You know, I think, again, I think it's a, you know, that's sort of why we're in such a unique position, you know, just for the fan community, but, you know, also for the marketer community, is that we see everything. And so our ability to help marketers increase their fandom, especially right now when I think fandom as an idea, I think is gaining a lot more prominence with ourselves in market, companies like Reddit in market, even YouTube talking about fandom, right? Like this is what we live and breathe every day. And so I think that just gives us a really interesting, powerful position in the market to help drive outcomes for our, you know, our clients.
Oh, undoubtedly. And I envy you, your NDA or not, your ability to see all this stuff before the rest of, I mean, I won't lie. I could keep my mouth shut if I saw it, but as we exit here, if someone wanted to find out more about the marketing side of fandom, where would they go?
Email me, Jeremy at fandom.com. I mean, obviously, look, you can go to we have our, you know, standard media kit on our website, but, you know, I'm happy to engage all people personally.
Excellent. Well, you know, for everything except for, you know, when is the new Call of Duty coming out? Obviously, you probably can't speak to that just yet.
I am not saying anything.
Excellent. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for taking the time to be on today. This was great.
Thank you. This was really great.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.